and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hoke, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday, the start of a new week, the start of almost a whole new slate of shows across town. No, not really. Almost. The new shows open every week, and we try to cover them as best we can here on the Arts Magazine program, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. First of all, we need some energy, right? So we're going to go to an energetic guy, and with an energetic show, we're going to journey on over to EGAD's Theater, where Stephen Eubank is with us. And he is the director, well, he's the artistic director of EGAD's Theater, and I'm assuming he's the director of Lysistrata Jones.
Lysistrata Jones.
I'm going to let you pronounce it every time.
It's not an easy title, I understand.
Lysistrata Jones.
Lysistrata Jones, indeed. Yeah, based on a comedy by Aristophanes back during Greek tragedy times. Lysistrata, the source material, is about the women of Athens deciding to have a sexual strike so that their husbands will come back from war. And in Lysistrata Jones, Lissy J decides that the cheerleaders should not give it up to the basketball team until they win a game from their 33-year losing streak.
Good idea.
I think it's great.
Some people need motivation.
That's right.
I can think of some local teams that could use that. This is the motivation
they
need.
This is the motivation. It's obviously loosely based off the
very
play,
loosely.
But it's really fun. It's up-to-date, modern.
That's the voice of Mandy Moore, you're hearing. She plays the title role of Lysistra.
Yes, I see. Lissy J, Lysistrata.
We have seen her before in Slashdance at the Coterie at Night. Mm-hmm. It's a little bolder at night at the Coterie.
Oh yeah. That was such a fun show.
In Hairspray at the New Theater, in Cabaret at the Rep, mm-hmm. and in Rocky Horror, the 40th annual presentation?
It was the 40th anniversary, yeah.
Last year. It was just last
Rocky
year.
Rocky went over the hill, finally.
And that was at EGAD's Theater, which is one of Stephen's endeavors.
Yay.
He has other endeavors. but welcome.
Thank you
Mandy.
So much.
Nice
Thanks
to
for
have
having
you
me.
On the show. Stephen and Mandy are working together very closely. The show is opening Friday.
Yes, it is. It's opening on Friday the 13th.
Oh.
We love that.
That was...
Isn't that great?
Was that on purpose? What's that?
Well, it's memorable. We run, you know, the 13th through the 13th.
I love
so
it.
So why
I love
not?
It.
Yeah, interesting. It's at the Off Center Theater in Crown Center, where a lot of the EGADs, if not all of the EGADs, shows
right, are Yeah, that's our home. Now. That's our home base, Michael.
Yeah. As you said, it's at Crown Center, if those of you who are not familiar with the Off Center Theater. When it was open, the American Heartland Theater was at the south side.
That is
this
exactly
is
right.
The very
We're
north,
the north
side.
Side.
Same level. Where the movies used to be. I guess there's still movies there.
They still are there. In fact, we're the only things hanging out on the third floor right now as they're doing their little renovation. So come on by for the Screenland Theater and also Off-Center Theater. And I think right now they're doing some kind of like hard hat happy hour just to, you know, get people to come up and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, you're thinking on this. Why did you pick this show? You thought it would be fun, I'm sure.
I did.
It was an off-Broadway hit.
Yeah, it actually debuted at the Dallas Theater years ago, and then they tried it out downtown at a gymnasium on Manhattan Island, and then the producers were so pleased with it that they decided to move it to Broadway, where it was not as successful. But it's a quirky little show. It's an underdog show. And what was so brilliant, you know, in a gymnasium setting with really authentic pop music, was not necessarily the kind of thing that could compare with what Bring It On was going on at that time,
right.
I think, and several other big winning musicals. And I think Once actually is what won the Tony that year. So people just weren't quite in the mood for Lissy J then. But we think Kansas City's really going to be in the mood for Lissy J right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, in the Aristophanes version, the women were upset because of war.
The men were going off to war to fight, and
the
women...
Peloponnese war.
So they you know, the women wanted the love, and the men wanted to fight, and so they decided to, when the men came home from the war, to withhold these sexual privileges to keep them from going off to fight, and...
And it ultimately worked in that story,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
They got their peace treaty.
I mean, I think there were some catastrophic things that happened with it, but then
and there's
in
some
the
catastrophic
end, yeah,
things
so.
That happen in ours, I guess.
Yeah, but we can't give all that away.
No, we shouldn't give
the good stuff away. But.
Can't give it up.
Now, in
the
this
the
version,
song.
What did the playwright do? How did they, without giving anything away,
absolutely.
How did they loosely change it around? You mentioned basketball.
Yes, absolutely. I like to think of it as a nice fusion of like 90s teen comedy with Disney's High School Musical set with some kind of college campus sex strike. yes. But I think people who were familiar with the movie Clueless or with She's All That or 10 Things I Hate About You, how those kind of respectively came from Jane Austen's Emma and came from Pygmalion and came from Taming of the Shrew.
Right.
So then Lysistrata Jones has very loosely come from Aristophanes.
Yeah.
Douglas Carter Bean is the playwright, and he has written the screenplay for Tuong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, and some of his more recognizable plays, I think, will be As Bees and Honey Drown and Little Dog Laughed. And he actually adapted the movie version of Xanadu for the stage. And so this kind of lives in that same campy playground of Xanadu where the comedy is very irreverent, even though all the characters take themselves extremely seriously.
Oh, it sounds That's like it, yes.
And it was fun because this is a project he got to do with his partner, Lewis Flynn. So the two of them wrote the show and said, I wonder if this could ever get to Broadway. And they achieved their dream. They went for their dreams, which is kind of what Lysistrata is all about, you know? Set a goal, have a dream, have a goal, and go for it unapologetically.
See, for a long time in sports, the thinking used to be, don't do this the night before the game because that will take your energy away. And I guess Joe Namath kind of broke the mold on that when he very publicly admitted that the 19, was it 68 or 69 Super Bowl?
How appropriate, 69.
He decided that he would go ahead and partake of activities down there in Miami and came out and won the Super Bowl the next day. Now, you're taking the opposite route with your basketball team here.
Yes, but I think we're doing it more to just kind of in a revengeful way to thinking of, like, this is going to get them to snap out of it and stop giving up. But I also love the fact that we're like, hey, maybe it's going to work and that we don't want to drain their energy at the same time, so maybe they'll win a game. I don't know.
If we
pull
them
that.
With sexual tension, then maybe they'll actually win on
they'll
the court.
They'll win. They'll use the testosterone.
Yeah, you said it earlier. This is a losing streak of 30 games, did you say?
30 years. 30 years.
Oh, years.
I know. Okay. Right.
Most school boards would have given up.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
There would be no funding
Which
for basketball.
Which they do. They kind of, like, stop trying. They're really just, you know, they kind of just don't even ever see themselves winning, so they don't even try. And
it's true.
Yeah.
But we
assume
that Athens University still hands out, you know, athletic scholarships. So even though the basketball team is, you know, cruddy, everything else must be doing okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. So this was your character's idea. How did she come about this? Did she read Aristophanes' Finding Nemo?
Well, it's the spark notes. she gets approached.
We used to call it cliff notes.
Yeah,
for the
I know. We
call
it the spark notes, the cliff notes. My character actually meets another character whose name is Robin in a library, and she kind of discusses how Lissy, you know, is determined to do something about this lameness, and, you know, she wants to do something. She's got to motivate them somehow. And Robin actually approaches her with the actual book, Lysistrata Jones, and Lissy doesn't know what to do with that. So she looks up the cliff notes, the shortened version, and just it takes her a minute to get this brilliant idea. She reads the story and all of a sudden, we're going to change the world, which is a huge theme of the show. Huge song. And
Lysistrata Jones for president.
For president, for leader. So she convinces the girls to, you know, go with her to look up experts and figure out what they can do. And
they actually went to experts.
Oh, huh? Yes.
Oh, yes, they do. They visit a brothel? Can you say brothel? Eros Motor Lodge. And with the power of the local hetera there.
That's a typical college.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, the brothel. Around the corner, I don't know.
The girls have no idea what they're getting into. The men know exactly what the Aeros Water Lodge is.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, did this meet with resistance from the other young ladies?
Oh, yes. Oh, not too much, I guess. They hop on the train pretty fast, I guess. But, But of course, there's, you know, they don't want to rock the boat, and they're as anybody, they don't want to. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like a. You're more comfortable. You're comfortable with the way things are.
That's
don't want
right.
to. You don't
right.
want to cause yeah. trouble and. Things.
Change is difficult.
Change is difficult. Yeah. So,
but sometimes so necessary.
It's so necessary. So, yeah.
Did they, just curious now, and the answer is probably no, but did they find any medical reasons for yes or no?
Oh. See, I, no.
Okay, no medical reasons.
No medical reasons. But we can make that an underlying something.
If yeah, that's subtext.
That's subtext.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
So this is a comedy and a musical.
Fortunately, yes. Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, if you stripped out any jokes from this thing, it's kind of like, oh, no, how does this plot really, you know, keep us going? But it does. There's wonderful music. It's very eclectic. I think there are several things that are very safely in the musical theater genre, but there's a salsa number, and there's some
the
DJ
The first
funk.
Time I heard this music, actually, after you guys called, and I listened to the CD and the cast recording, and I kind of... Rent kind of popped in my head in mm-hmm. the Heights.
Yeah.
It's like there's all these. The music's amazing. I love the music, but there's. I don't know. It's
yeah. I hope it becomes incredible. More well known because it really is kind of a gem of musical genre.
I couldn't believe I've never heard this stuff. Like, there's some just like, where am I now? And
absolutely, yeah. Some power ballads
in
it.
Stuff
in
it.
And some punk rock. And, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun. And I think it'll be fun for multiple generations. I don't know. I hope kids and parents are bold enough to go and see it together. You know, because it's naughty, but it is not crass.
No.
Okay. Speaking of the CD, you brought one.
I did. I brought the cast recording.
And I have cut number 17 all lined up. What would you like
perfect.
To say?
Perfect. Excellent. This is the finale number to give everyone the taste of the penultimate moment of the show. And this is where they're having their Bacchanal to, spoiler alert, celebrate victory.
Oh, I gave it away.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you know.
Here's the finale.
Big surprise.
The day.
give it up.
Isn't that
which
rousing?
They don't do.
Yeah.
In Lasista Jones, opening this Friday.
This Friday the 13th at Off Center Theater, and we shall run until July 13th.
You have no fear of saying Friday the 13th. You even work for this night.
No, in my experience, Friday the 13th has always been a very lucky day, at least for theater. Every project that I've gotten to work on that opens on Friday the 13th has been a tremendous reward.
Well, good for you. We're speaking with Stephen Eubank and Mandy Morris. They are Stephen is the director.
Yes.
And Mandy is the role of
Lysistrata.
Lysistrata.
Yeah.
In Lysistrata Jones.
Now you're getting it, Michael. Good.
Yeah. Good.
Starting to get it. It takes a little while. The number to call for more information at the Off Center Theater is 816-545-6000, or you can get your tickets online at egadstheater.com, egadstheater.com. Stephen and Mandy are with us.
Yeah. Hi.
Working with hi to you. Working with Mandy and Phil.
Yes, working with Mandy
and Phil. What's the story there?
Well, they're great. they've become one of my favorite Kansas City show couples.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And actually, someone beat me to it and put them in a romantic couple position together last year. Karen Paisley very cleverly put them in How to Succeed in Business as Rosemary and Pierpont Finch, and we're delighted that we get to show them off as a little romance couple on stage too.
It's really fun.
They're just disgustingly cute, aren't
they're
you? Aren't you though?
Cute.
Like
we are pretty gross.
Shamelessly.
Yeah.
Now living in L.A., where you originally hailed from.
Yeah, we just moved out there in January, but we love being able to come back to Kansas City and be a part of the theater community still. That's really important to us.
We're glad to have them as visitors again.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, really
it sounds as you are. You can't do it all by yourself. There's a list of cast members there.
Yeah.
We've got a great cast of 12, and everyone has now had some kind of professional appearance in Kansas City, but we feel like this is a showcase of really great, fresh, eclectic talent. I think the audience will be blown away with their high energy. We're actually going to try to get the audience to dance along with us at the end with our sweaty cast members. and hopefully no one will feel intimidated. Hopefully everyone will feel very, very welcome because it's a lot of fun on stage.
I don't know. After Rocky, I don't think the audience has a problem getting
involved. I think that's true. I think we probably broke that fourth wall barrier.
Oh, yeah.
They work together in Rocky Horror. The 40th anniversary of Rocky Horror.
Yeah, we had a good time with that.
Yeah.
Steven's directing is rather energetic. You want him to slow down ever?
No, I love it. Honestly, a big part of us coming back was we love the company and love the Eubanks, and we just think we just respect them so much and what they do and love all the productions they do and are very honored to be a part of them. And I just really respect a really good director who allows us to play and experiment and not make you feel, scared to try new things or whatever. He really encourages that, and I really appreciate that as an artist.
And I do believe this cast has been very bold and very courageous.
Good.
Opening night is going to be a treat, a feast for the eyes.
Do you want to name anybody?
People that will be recognized, I'm sure, will be Chelsea Engelmeyer. She played our Carrie when we did Carrie the Musical last year. And it's so fun that we have some folks recently back from college right now. We've got P.T. Mahoney and Caitlin Barron back in town. And Daria LeGrand is visiting for the summer. And then other people that will be recognized through EGADS because of Godspell. We've got Christopher Carlson and Josh Atkins, and we're so excited to get to work with Teal Holliday and Matthew Lindblom for the first time. And then we've got Francisco Villegas back and playing with us too. So it's great. This cast is really fun because it is multi-energy and it's multi-ethnic.
Okay.
And we've got a good time going.
Just really, really great.
Did you have to familiarize yourself with some of the numbers?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't actually too familiar with the show when they approached me about it, so that's why I grabbed the CD and got myself familiar with it and fell in love. I actually got quite obsessed with it.
Yay. Oh, cool.
Pretty quick. I mean, I couldn't stop listening to it. The music's so catchy, and I don't know. I just got excited to be able to get to sing it. And
do you have a favorite number?
Ooh, there's so many good ones. okay, I'm gross. I really love the one that Phil and I get to sing together. It's called Hold On. It's really gross, but it's really cute.
Love Blossoms in the duet.
Love Blossoms.
So make sure I got this right. Now, you're a significant other in real life.
He's my significant other in real life.
But on stage, during this show, you don't give it up to him.
Okay. Well, you just had to come and see.
Yeah, surprisingly, for a show that is all about sex, there's no sex.
There's really no sex. There's no.
No. Actually, that's something that Douglas Carter Beane said about it.
Yeah.
For a show that I've written about, you know, sexual protest, we do a pretty good job of standing our ground.
I almost do.
But you don't weaken because it's more important for the team.
Exactly.
That's right.
I'm stubborn.
That's right,
of course. As well you should. Show, of course, opens this Friday. We're getting closer.
Friday.
Everything coming together. Stephen's not being too overly demanding or anything, is he?
Oh, I'm pretty demanding.
He is, but he's so nice about it.
So nice about it.
Oh, thank you.
Tech week can be very stressful, and everybody's kind of on edge. But it's always been a wonderful process. Again, this is my second show with them, and I enjoy it. I don't usually enjoy tech rehearsals because it's very hard. And
they are difficult. Yeah, they're tedious.
Mm-hmm, very tedious.
We had our second 10 out of 12 hour rehearsal yesterday, queuing all of Act 1, and we'll go in and queue all of Act 2 tonight, and then hopefully squeeze in 3 dress rehearsals.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It is demanding, and the team's been very demanding. We're very lucky to have Tiffany Powell choreographing, and Tyler Parsons is my associate director on this, and he was my associate on Godspell, and he's really had to take over this week, which is great, because I have to run away for other things, and that's going beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have two different musical directors kind of trading in and out on this one, too. Julie Danielson and Daniel Doss have been very willing to take on.
Is Daniel back from his world
tour?
He's
home, Michael.
Oh, good.
At least for a little while. He will have a show this summer with Brian Colley and Tara Varney. They're musicalizing Mask of the Red Death. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's home for a bit.
So the Addams Family has concluded?
The Addams Family has concluded. A little birdie told me that it may appear very soon locally in Kansas City out of one of those Overland Park theaters. I bet you can guess. One that's undergoing a massive, beautiful renovation.
It was over a year.
Yeah, it was over a year for him to be out on the road, and he really loved it. Again, things I shouldn't share, but it's insider info. If Addams Family goes over to Asia as a tour again next year, then we may lose him again.
Aww.
He may go away for a while.
Well, it's great to be in demand.
Oh, I know.
Right?
He's very talented. He's very talented indeed. Lysistrata Jones.
Yeah, you got it. That was good.
Opens this Friday, the 13th, at the Off Center Theater. Runs through July 13th. What are the normal weeks like? Friesat Sun?
You typically do go online at egadstheater.com to find the specific schedule, but you can rely on Fridays and Saturdays, except for July 4th. We're all going to take a holiday for that. But we will always be on at 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, and then we'll have different scattered showers. No kidding. We'll have different scattered Thursday and Sunday performances and some matinees, and of course a Monday industry. We love that Kansas City is big on all the different theaters kind of trading off and doing different Monday industry nights.
Yeah, all your performances at the
Off-Center Theater. It's the other off-theater.
Well, which leads to one of my questions. You've been at a number of different locations.
We have.
This
we
is the
were
best
so nomadic.
So far?
Oh, we love having a home. Now, you can't say best. We love them all. We absolutely have loved them. This one has allowed us the most consistent residency, and that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a month run is a long time.
It is. It's great. 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think 16 performances.
Wow.
Yeah. So just enough to love our show, live our show, and then be ready to move on to new projects.
Good point.
To another show. Do you have another show to move on to? Out in L.A., perhaps?
Go back to L.A. and just hit it hard and wait tables still and, and just get those auditions.
Pilot season, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, it's fun.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so
on
much.
Stage.
Appreciate it.
Stephen Eubank is the director of the show. He's also the artistic director of EGADS Theater. Is there an EGADS production waiting for some time in the future?
You know, we actually aren't looking too far into the future at the moment. We're only focusing on Lysistrata, and then our board of directors and our production team will get together and see if there's any mischief we can stir up in 2015.
Sure. The number to call at the Off-Center Theater.
Thank you, Michael.
816-545-6000. Or online at EGADS, E-G-A-D-S, EGADStheater.com for Lysistrata Jones, running this Friday, June 13th through July 13th.
Yes.
At the Op Center Theater.
At the Op Center Theater.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to take our break. When we come back, much more for you. Much, much more. More than you ever expected. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Independence Day meets Groundhog Day in the new Tom Cruise sci-fi thriller, Edge of Tomorrow. Believe it or not, the end result is a lot better than you might expect from that description. Tom Cruise is a soldier who mysteriously has to live one battle day over and over again every time he's killed in an alien invasion. Exciting, beautifully produced, and action-packed, Edge of Tomorrow is a giddy roller coaster epic that works in spite of that logic-bending premise. If you think about it too hard, it all falls apart, just like most time travel movies. So put your brain on hold and go along for the merry ride, and if you do that, then Edge of Tomorrow will keep you on the edge of your seat. The Fault in Our Stars is an unapologetically manipulative tearjerker about teenage cancer patients who fall in love. Based on John Green's best-selling novel, it's a soap opera that works much better than it should, thanks to terrific dialogue, honest wit, earnest execution, and an appealing cast. Shailene Woodley and Ansel Elgort play teens who meet in a cancer support group. She's the cynical wallflower, and he's the optimistic, outgoing jock. Naturally, they click. While the plot devices are extremely contrived, the cast members bring an authenticity to this heartbreaking tale. Along with popcorn and soda, the concession stands could make a killing by dispensing Kleenex. Also opening this week, Ida is an acclaimed Polish film about a young nun who, in 1960s Poland, just before taking her vows, learns a dark secret about her family's past during the Nazi occupation. Ida won the Critics' Prize at this year's Toronto Film Festival, and it also won Best Film Honors at the recent London and Warsaw Film Festivals. And the Out Here Now Festival returns June 12th through July 3rd at the Tivoli Theater. More information is available at Tivoli.com. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, this is Judy Ansel. On Saturday, June 14th at IBEW Local 124, the Heartland Labor Forum will celebrate 25 years of talking back to the boss with two of our favorite Hellraisers, America's number one populist Jim Hightower and labor troubadour Ann Feeney. We'll have a VIP meet and greet dinner at 6 p.m., followed by a Hellraising speech in concert at 7. Details, advance tickets, and directions are available at kkfi.org.
We do the work.
Hello, all you KKFI blues fans. Charlie Monk here. On Tuesday, June the 10th, just after 3 p.m. Central Time, I'll again be Stray Cat's guest on the Voodoo Kittens Road Tripping Blues Show, presenting another selection of British blues. We'd love it if you can join us.
On the next From the Vault from Pacifica Radio Archives, we celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Survival Sunday No Nukes Rally at the Hollywood Bowl. Featuring Jackson Brown, Joan Baez, Robin Williams, Lily Tomlin, John Sebastian, Sweet Honey and the Rock, Peter Paul and Mary, Gil Scott-Heron, Ralph Nader, and Helen Caldicott. Set your alarm for 5 a.m. on Wednesday.
And there it was. After 3.5 days of legal haggling, Ralston had set the exact limits on the case that the prosecution wanted. But the defense was determined to keep the broader issues in play. Stewart estimated that his whole case would take only an hour, while the defense believed their case would take weeks. Scopes then pleaded,
not guilty.
The Great Tennessee Monkey Trial on L.A. Theater Works, Wednesday evening at 7.
Support for KKFI provided by the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Central, Kansas City, Missouri, presenting Journeyman's Theater production of John Steinbeck's classic of Mice and Men. June 12th through June 22nd, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday matinees at 2:30 p.m. Details and tickets available at journeymantheater.com. Tickets can also be purchased at the door.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. We are going to talk in the next segment of the show about the Free State Festival. It will be going on in Lawrence, Kansas, and happening on Wednesday, June 25th at the Lawrence Arts Center. They will have on stage Kevin Kling. He will be I went to his website, looked him all up. He is an author, a playwright, and as it says on his website, a teller of stories. Hello. Is Kevin there? Oh, somehow Kevin got lost here. Okay. If Kevin would call back, we'll do our best to get Kevin on the line now. Hopefully Kevin will be able to call back. He is going to be with us. He is a teller of stories, as I said, an author, a playwright, a storyteller, and he has performed internationally. He has, it's all on his website, kevinkling.com, K-L-I-N-G.com. And if you want to know what Kevin looks like, you can look it up right now, kevinkling.com, and you can get a chance to see what Kevin looks like. Hopefully he'll call back in a minute. Somehow he got dropped off the line. I'm not sure how, but the line is open now for him to call. Yeah, would you come in and help me out? Yeah, we're having trouble getting Kevin on the line. So Mike Murphy, in all his engineering skills, may well come in and help get Kevin Kling on the line with me as well. He will be appearing at the Free State Festival at the Lawrence Arts Center. Now, the Free State Festival begins on June the 25th and runs through the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. They have things such as independent films and outdoor art installation will be going on there, live performances such as with Kevin Kling as well, live music, and much, much more. It's located, if you've ever been to Lawrence, in the 9th Street Corridor in the Lawrence Cultural District, and more information on the Free State Festival can be had by going to their website, freestatefestival.org, and the number to call for more information is 785-843-2787. That's the number to call for the Free State Festival. We're waiting for Kevin to call us back. We had him on the line momentarily. I have all the lines clear, don't I? I mean, I'm not waiting. Okay. So he should be able to get in right now if he can call. He's not in Lawrence, I don't think. He's probably on the road somewhere. He has performed internationally, and his commentaries can be heard, I believe, on National Public Radio. Things such as that nature, of course. He is a well-known playwright and storyteller and on All Things Considered, I see here right now. His plays and adaptations have been performed around the world. He lives in Minneapolis. Perhaps that's where he is calling us from right now. He is best known for his popular commentaries on All Things Considered and his storytelling stage shows like Tales from the Charred Underbelly of the Yule Log. He delivers hilarious, often tender stories. Kling's autobiographical tales are as enchanting as they are true to life. Hopping freight trains, getting hit by lightning, performing his band play in Czechoslovakia, growing up in Minnesota, and eating things before knowing what they are. Gonna love to hear about that. Kevin Kling describes his zodiac sign as Minnesota with Iowa rising. He grew up in Brooklyn Park and Maple Grove, a Minneapolis suburb. Graduated from Gustavus Adolphus College in 1979 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in theater. His storytelling started as a friend from the now defunct Brass Tax Theater, and he was asked to perform his stories then. Since then, he has been awarded numerous arts grants and fellowships, the National Endowment for the Arts, the McKnight Foundation, the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Bush Foundation, the Jerome Foundation, and others have recognized his artistry. He was born with a congenital birth defect. His left arm is about three-quarters the size of his right arm. But that hasn't stopped him, and it wouldn't if you were a person dedicated to your craft and all of that. More than 5 years ago, Kevin was in a motorcycle accident. The nerves in his right arm were pulled completely out of their sockets. Currently, he has partial use of his left arm and cannot use his right arm at all. He continues to write stories and plays in a rigorous fashion and travels around the globe to numerous storytelling festivals, residencies, and has been invited to perform the acclaimed National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro. That's in Tennessee. For several years, Kevin has released a number of compact disc collections of his stories and has published 5 books. The dog says How, Holiday Inn, and Big Little Brother, or above the are among the songs he has recorded. Okay, are we ready to go now? Okay, we need to do a transfer over from line one. We usually don't do this live on the air, so we're going to get a little help here. So, do we have Kevin on the line now with us?
Hi, Michael. It's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Glad to have you back. Sorry if you got cut off there.
Oh, that's okay.
That's all right. Well,
that stuff happens.
Oh, sure. I was reading your biography for the folks. Your performance is going to be at the at the Free State Festival at the Lawrence Arts Center, which is located at 940 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, and it will be happening on Thursday, June the 26th, on the main stage of the Arts Center.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Oh, I bet you are. I was reading about your presentation, and it seemed to have a title of Ideas. How does Ideas fit into the show?
Well, I think it's because usually with the storytelling, you kind of come into an environment, you see what's going on that day or where you are, and you just shoot from the hip. I'll come in with some of the storytellers that I work with have several hundred stories that they can draw from, so I think I'm just going to start to get there, see what's going on, and start firing away.
Oh, wow.
And so I think it's kind of a loose title just so we can go with wherever we want.
I see. So you really don't have a plan. You just kind of go from the wealth of stories you have in your brain up there and just go. It says on your website that you're a teller of stories. A lot of people bill themselves as a storyteller. You do it a little differently. Why is that?
Right. You know, I think that when people hear storytelling, they immediately have a connotation. Some people think that it's for kids. Some people think... And I like the idea of teller of stories because, or sometimes I call myself a humorist or a monologuist. It's just because I think we need to stir it up a little bit and let people know that it's a lot broader and a lot more welcoming than people know. Whenever people come to storytelling, they're always, they think, wow, I came in thinking one thing, and it was really something else. And so I kind of like stirring up the title a little bit.
Do you like to, I know, what's your favorite subject matter? Would it be politics or current events or trends?
You know, it's kind of what's happening, yeah. It's kind of what's happening that day, but I love talking about, especially, I really like going to the cities in the Midwest. Like, I can't wait to go to Kansas City because being from, or Lawrence in particular, being from Minnesota, I love telling stories about the Midwest. I love being from the Midwest. And we have a particular sense of humor that is really, really part of growing up here. And in fact, my family's from Missouri, and I have family in Kansas as well. And so I just love how our Midwestern sense of humor, Mark Twain coming from here, the great humorists, and I love connecting with that. And so... That's a lot of it. A lot of it's just being from here.
Yeah, just kind of observations on things you might see going on, things perhaps that are contradictory in nature. Comedians, if you consider yourself a comedian, I shouldn't be presumptuous, but storytellers seem to have fun with things like that.
A lot of fun. And that is, a lot of it is mostly humorous in nature. And I do have to say, though, a storyteller is a bit different than a comedian in that comedians really aim to tell a joke or to get laughter. And a storyteller a lot of times will use a joke to open a door, to go to somewhere else, to, you know, sometimes a story can be poignant. Sometimes it can be an adventure story. Sometimes, it can be, as you said earlier, a political nature, or pull your heartstrings a little bit more. And so storytelling's a bit different, but we definitely, I definitely use as much humor as I can, because it all gets us in the same room. It all gets us together, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, when you're on stage and in the kind of performance you do, you're all by yourself out there. Just, do you feel kind of lonely out there sometimes?
You know, I do. But the thing that's really kind of nice about storytelling is when it's really working, it's more like a conversation anyway. So once I get going and I get in there with the audience, it really does become less lonely fast. And I can always tell when a storytelling goes well. After the show, the audience, somebody will come up and they won't say what I said. They'll say what they conjured in their mind, what memory or what family member or what happened to them.
Uh-huh.
And then I know it went well, because that's what you're really aiming to do, is to connect with folks in the audience.
Oh, sure. I bet you've spun a few yarns in your time. How far back does that go? Did you start as a child, perhaps, telling stories?
I did. I started as a kid, and I just didn't even know I was a storyteller. And I was at a party one time in the kitchen, you know, best place at any party is the kitchen. And I was in there, and somebody was listening to me, and they said, they were a theater producer, and they said, "You want to do that on stage?" And I said, "What?" And they go, "Just what you did here in the kitchen." And they put me on stage, and the next thing I know, I was, and I haven't looked back since. It was just, it completely took off, and I've made a career, a 30-year career out of it. But it was always in my life. My parents, coming from Missouri, oh man, there's just great storytellers down your way, and down, you know, in Kansas. I was just in a storytelling festival in Downs, Kansas, and it was amazing, the tellers coming out of there. And again, I think part of our Midwestern charm is that we're this hidden secret of great storytellers come out of this place.
Yeah, is there any truth in your experience to the phrase that as over time that people kind of add to the stories as they go along?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta. I remember one thing we used to say in college was, your night before was only as good as your ability to tell about it, you know?
Sure.
You had to be able to spin what happened, or, you know, that's when it lives. That's the that's where you're, like the old bards in the king's days used to have their, they would weave these amazing invisible threads that would ensure the immortality of the king, you know. And so they really had to stretch them sometimes.
Yeah, that's what they call a tall tale, perhaps?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love tall tales, yeah. Mine stick to the truth, because I found more often than not the truth is stranger than fiction.
True.
And so, you know, and so I try as much as I can to stick to the truth. In a story, sometimes I'll squeeze time a little bit, or I'll, you know, if I do exaggerate, it's pretty obvious. But I, most of the time, because you just can't beat the truth when it comes to seeming strange.
Oh, sure. We're speaking with Kevin Kling. That's an L, K-L-I-N-G. And people will sometimes say to me, I wish we could see what your guest looked like on the radio. And in my case, that's probably a good thing. But if you want to see what Kevin looks like, you can go to his website, as I have right now, at KevinKling.com, and some very interesting things about Kevin. It talks about his commentaries on NPR. When did you start doing that?
Back in the mid-90s. I was fortunate enough, there was a Noah Adams with All Things Considered asked me to be part of the program, and so I got to come on and do a couple of commentaries a week, and I did it for several years. I haven't been on the national one as much anymore, but because they moved most of their storytelling format to the weekends, but I still do quite a bit of radio here in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's another famous Minnesotan that's on the radio and spins a lot of tall tales himself.
Heard of him.
Did you grow up listening to him?
What's that?
Did you grow up listening to him?
Oh, yeah. We're pretty, actually pretty close to the same age.
And, really? Oh. I would have thought he'd be a lot of...
He really was big when I got into college. I started to more listen to Garrison, and I love what he brought, this you know, our eccentricities were always up here. We just didn't voice them so well. And Garrison really brought us on the map, and I'm really proud of that and really proud of him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he has a lot of fun with the Lutherans. Who do you like to have fun with?
Well, I do, too. You know, it can't resist. I mean, yeah, the Lutherans are, you know, the weather being cold up here. I love to tell ice fishing stories or stories that, you know, happen up in this part of the world, or, you know, or even stories about farming, agriculture stories, too. My family from Missouri were farmers, so I key into that quite a bit. Because that really, those things that happen in that kind of community are really specific to the Midwest and really, I think, wonderful, beautiful stories.
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to be able to see the humor in things, even in tragedy, there can be humor.
I completely agree, Michael. I think when you can laugh about something, it doesn't control you anymore, you know? And it is one of the things. In fact, one of my friends, Bill Harley, wonderful storyteller, says humor actually is humor is tragedy plus time, he says.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's how we handle it, how we decipher it, how we get through it. You know, as you look back on things, once you've gotten through them, and you can look back, you do see a lot of humor in there. You really do.
Oh, you have to. I think that is really the key to survival. Another buddy of mine up here says you can survive anything with sense of humor and sense of self.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. I think that. And with stories, you get both of them. You get the sense of self from, you know, either your community or family or religion, and you get your sense of humor. I think it comes with the weather. I think weather has a lot to do with sense of humor.
Are we saying that being shut in because of all the cold, icy winters up there, that caused you to come out with a few more stories about things?
I think it does. Exactly. Yeah, I think it does.
Okay. Kevin will be in the area coming up on June. Well, the June 26th is what I have listed as the date for your performance. It's all part It's all part of the Lawrence Arts, the Free State Festival, which will be going on in Lawrence. And Kevin's particular performance will be part of a bill going on at the Lawrence Arts Center. That's located, by the way, at 940 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence. Of course, there'll be lots of things, independent films, outdoor art installations, performance events. That's where Kevin will fit in. Live music. It's in the 9th Street corridor on Lawrence. That's known as the Cultural District in Lawrence. They have a website as well, freestatefestival.org, and they also have a phone number. You can call 785-843-2787, and performing on Thursday, June 26th at 6:30 p.m. on the main stage of the Lawrence Arts Center will be my guest, Kevin Kling. He joins us, an author, playwright, storyteller. Do you prefer live performing, or do you prefer writing? Some people's humor comes across better writing. Some people's humor comes across better in a vocal performance. Which do you prefer?
Yeah, I love being up in front of people. I think that's really where it lives. But I agree with you. Some people are meant for the page, but I'm definitely meant to be up there in front of folks. And this festival, I'm so glad you're mentioning it, Michael. It just is, the more I'm reading and finding out about it, it is amazing what these guys are doing. I'm so excited to be part of this thing.
Yeah, it takes a sense of humor to get through things. I don't want to dwell on the subject, but on your website...
No, I'm with you on it,
On your website, it does talk about this accident that you were involved in. Did your sense of humor help you get through that?
Oh, definitely. And it continues. I think that, again, when you can laugh about something, it really gets you through it. And when you're going through something very difficult and you're with other people, and any of us know this, if we've ever been through something and you get with people that have gone through something similar, the humor usually isn't something that can even leave the room, you know. It can get pretty dark.
Sure.
But at the same time, it really, really, it pulls you through. And, you know, I have to say, we've all suffered loss. It's something when I get up on stage and I start talking, everybody knows what I'm talking about. And I lost the use of my right arm, but when I talk about that, it could be a loss of anything. It can be, you know, the loss of a person that you loved. It can be the loss of you know, something that you held dear, and yet at the same time, we have to remember not only with humor, but give, you know, just the respect and the beauty that I think that exists in this world. And so I think that the key to telling a story is finding the paradox in this story. So if it is about tragedy, what is the humor in that? If it is about loss, what was found in that loss? And so I think that when you're working on a story, if you want it to really work, you have to find the paradox in the story. And you'll realize that when you hear or read a really good story, that's how they work.
Yeah. In the large scheme of things, do we as human beings think of ourselves as perhaps a little too more important than we really should?
Yeah, I think we do, but that's why we're so funny. I think that's part of what cracks me up about us, you know. It's that big old blustery person that you just love, you know. And when Shakespeare wrote Falstaff, or the different characters throughout time that are just these big blustery characters, you can't help but fall in love with those guys, you know, or those women that really come out of the blocks firing away. Uh-huh. And I just... And more often than not, I'm stepping before I'm looking too, and I get a kick out of that.
Oh, sure. What I love is these people that they can't pass a mirror without looking in one.
No.
I just love that. Of course, I'm on radio. I can get away with saying that. But
yeah, you can.
They have to look in the mirror and check it out every time they walk by.
Yeah, they're cranking their head around as they're going by.
Oh, I know. And if they don't get a compliment every 5 minutes, they think something's wrong there.
I know it. Okay. I love it.
Well, we welcome you to come to the Lawrence Arts Center on Thursday. Anything you want to plug about your performance, Kevin?
No, just come and, we're going to have a great time. I think the people, again, when they hear storytelling, they kind of think they know what it is, but I guarantee when you get there, you're going to end up laughing, you're going to end up having a great time. And, you know, with luck, I'll tug at a heartstring or two. And I really love what I get to do, and I really love getting to share this art form.
You certainly sound like you do. Where do you go from Lawrence?
From Lawrence, I come back to Minnesota, and I have a couple of more shows in July, and then I hit the road. I go to, I'm in Ireland. I'm doing the National Storytelling Festival this year in Jonesboro, Tennessee. There's a huge festival in Utah called the Timpanogos Festival. I'm doing that one as well, and then I hit Athens, Georgia. Things get busy.
I'll bet. It sounds like you're busy pretty much year-round then.
I am. And again, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to make a living. I just thank my lucky stars I get to do this.
Yeah, you're a lucky man. I guess we're all lucky in where we are in life. But
I think so. Yeah. Being Americans this day and age, I think, yeah, we are the lucky generation, I think we're called.
I think we are, too. I really do. Thanks for calling in, and sorry about the technical problems if it was on our end, but I'm glad you called back, and I'm glad I got to speak with you today.
Oh, thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Kevin Kling will be appearing on Thursday, June the 26th, on the main stage of the Lawrence Arts Center, part of the Free State Festival. His performance begins at 6 o'clock p.m. For more information, you can go to the website freestatefestival.org, or you can call their number, 785-843-2787. And if you want to learn more about Kevin, where he's going to be, what he's like, what he looks like, there's a nice picture of him on the website. It's Kevin Kling, KevinKling.com. And I'm repeating that because I had a guest on a couple weeks ago. It was just Kevin King. So specify that. So it's KevinKling.com, appearing, as I said, on Thursday, June 26th, on the main stage of the Lawrence Arts Center at 6:30 p.m., part of the the Free State Festival in Lawrence. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, that just about wraps up the show for today. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz. The history behind some of your favorite jazz tunes. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6. KKFI is known, after all, for its jazz and blues. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.